Ephesians chapter 2. Father, thank you for the good word of God and good ground, good hearts to sow the good word. Father, help me to balance out grace and works. Help me to bring everything to this moment because you have brought everything to this moment for such a time as this where we're born, that we might become new creations, that we might become masterpieces in your kingdom, your very workmanship. And the whole reason is to now do good works. Thank you, Father, for those good works and an understanding of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Today I want to talk about good works or good deeds and the role that works play in our Christian life and in our Christian experience. I have been sharing for months on significance and the road to significance and how that you have significance. You are significant. God stamped significance on you in your mother's womb. He put a potential in you. He put a purpose on the inside of every single one of us. And I've been walking that process out because much of significance is discovering who you are now and what you have in Christ Jesus. And yet there's a purpose that goes beyond the new creation for our lives. There's a purpose that goes beyond being. And it has to do with the outworking of who we are in our deeds. In our deeds. I'm going to tackle one of the most difficult concepts in Christianity today. And that's the difference between works to get saved and works in your life because you are saved. We do not do works to get saved. You cannot do works to get saved, but you who are saved should have now good works. Good works proceed. Or excuse me, good works follow your salvation experience, not proceed or earn your salvation experience. And yet we've got one ditch or the other. People want to get saved and have no works, or people want to keep working to get saved. We need to understand this concept. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We need to forever settle that our works do not save us, and we do not do good works or purpose to go out to do good works to get saved. There is no good work we can do to earn our salvation. There is no good deed we can commit to get to heaven, to win God's favor or God's acceptance. No, the good work that saves us is the work of God, the work of the cross, the work of Jesus. What Jesus did in his good works saves us through calling upon the name of the Lord. By grace are we saved, through faith. And even that's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are settled in this house that our works do not save us. No works can save us. No amount of works can save you. You are saved by grace, by God's work, by God's favor, by God's work in Christ Jesus have I been saved through simple faith. But now that I am saved, and I really am born again and a new creation, good works are going to come out of my heart and my life now. And that's what he said in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, or resulting in, or for good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God changed me. He made me significant. He caused me to be made the very righteousness of God for a purpose. What's the purpose? Good works. Good deeds. God has made me righteous, so now from Christ Jesus, I need to go and do the right thing. I don't do right things to be made righteous, but because I am the very righteousness of God, God foreordained that because of who he would make me, I would do these things now from and out from my relationship with God. So works are important. Deeds are important. It's an important part of our salvation experience and the scriptures. And so I want to share some things concerning good works today because we're going to be judged for every word spoken in the day of judgment and every deed done, good and bad, in the body. Now, we're not going to be judged by our works to go to heaven, but we're going to stand before Jesus, our Lord, and we're going to give an account For every deed done in the flesh, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, whether good or bad. And it's going to be judged by fire. Was it a good work? Did it come from a heart of love for God? Did it come out of a heart of love for people? Because before we got saved, we had an evil nature. We were of the wicked one, the god of this world. And we had good works, but they were not pure and they were not without selfish motive. We did good things before we got saved, but it was for self. We gave money, but it was for recognition. We did people kind or nice, but it was to get something out of them. Now we're born again. Now we're new creations. Now we have significance stamped all over our life. And God says, out of my relationship and a pure heart, love God and love people. And I will reward you, says the Lord. I'll reward your deeds done, even in secret. I will honor you openly now that you are good, because God is in your life. By God, go do good. Go do the right thing, and God will reward us for every good deed done in the flesh. It says in the New Living Translation, I love it, for we are God's masterpiece. I love that. All of you that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, ask him into your heart and life. Got a new heart after God ripped out that old stony heart. You became a masterpiece of God. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Look at this. So that we can do good, or the good things he planned for us long ago. God planned long ago for us to do good things. But in and of ourselves, without Christ, we couldn't. So God saved us, made us a new creation, and now says, hey, go do those good things that I preordained before the foundations that you would do, because I've made you good now. Go defend the oppressed. Go feed the hungry. Good things. Go clothe the naked. Good things. Go visit those that are in prison. Good things. Go visit the sick. Good things. Go help somebody in the parking lot that's struggling. And because you don't have a self-centered, self-absorbed life any longer, you can take time now to help them get their car off the parking lot that broke down. Good things. Good things like forgive those that trespass against you, because you've been forgiven of such a great debt. And because you have a new life, the very life of Christ on the inside of you now, do some good things, like be merciful to those that need it the most, that deserve it the least, because God's been so merciful to you. Are you out there? God wants us to do good things, good works. James chapter 2 verse 18 says, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, we need to take heed to that. I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, my works will testify for me or against me. I can say, Lord, Lord. I can say I have faith. Others have works. Some have faith. Christians have faith that results in works. Christians have evidence of a new life in their life. Christians have works and good deeds that express the significant stamp of God and this new life that's on the inside of them. I've often wondered, if some of you were dragged into a court of law, would there be enough evidence, if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you of that crime in the eyes of the world? We should have a changed life. If we don't have a changed life, don't be condemned about it. You're already condemned and going to hell. You need to get right with God. You need to get a changed heart that results in a changed life. And your life will testify for or against what's on the inside of you. We don't need to get down if we don't have a hunger for God. We need to get saved. We don't need to get down if we don't love people. We need to get saved. We don't need to get down if we're self-centered and self-absorbed. We need to get this new life of Christ on the inside of us, where we care about people that are around us. Because if I have saving faith, if I get born again by the word of God that's incorruptible, and if I get the Spirit of God on the inside of me and a new spirit on the inside of me, I am going to have a hunger for God. I am going to love God. I may make mistakes. I may fall short. But one of the reasons I know I'm saved is because I'm sorry I fell short. And I apologize for falling short. When I sin against God, now I repent. When I sin against you, I repent, because woe unto me if I put a stumbling block before anyone in the kingdom of heaven. I care now about your life. I care about your destiny. Those works testify that I have a Bible-saving faith. Not just saying, Lord, Lord, is going to cause you to enter the kingdom. Not just going to church is going to cause you to enter the kingdom. Even the devils call Jesus Lord. But wilt thou know, O man, that faith without works, faith without corresponding action, faith without a changed life is dead. Man, I don't want to just say I have faith, and I don't want to just have works to get faith. I want to have Bible-saving faith that has works that you can judge and say, that man has faith. Look at the works in his life. That man knows God and loves God. Look at the works in his life. I wonder if lost people looked at your life, would they see enough of the work of God? Would they see enough of the life of Jesus to tell their friends, that man is saved, that woman is saved? I don't say those things to condemn you or put you down. I say those things to wake you up, to alarm you, because we're going to die one day. Everybody in here is going to die, and everybody's going to stand before Jesus, and everyone's going to give an account for every word spoken. If you've spoken an evil word, I suggest you repent. I suggest you apologize, because it is being recorded. There are records being kept, and you will give an account for that in the day of judgment. So, man, I'm going to be careful, first of all, what I say to people and how I speak to people. And then when I mess up, I'm going to fess up quick, because I want the tapes erased in heaven. If I do something wrong, I'm going to be quick to repent. I'm going to apologize to God. If it's between me and God, repent, be forgiven and cleansed of that. And if it's against my fellow man, hey, I'm going to get it right with my fellow man, because I'm going to give an account for that in the day of judgment. I'm either going to receive rewards, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, for my deeds, my conduct, or I'm going to suffer loss for the lack thereof. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We live in a world that there is much deception. Many people think they're going to heaven. They think they're right with God, and they live like the devil. They talk like the devil. They act like the devil, but they signed a card. They made some profession with their words, but not with their heart. And God has, with great pain, written us with clarity, truth, and sent the Holy Spirit to illuminate us to truth so that we can know that we're saved, know that we're right with God, know that something has changed in my life. I don't want to do the things that hurt people any longer. I don't want to go the way of the world any longer. Something happened in here that is so real and so alive and so significant, it calls me and drives me to a life of significance and to have a significant impact everywhere I go. I want now this new life, this new creation to be released and do good works to bless my Father. In Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 14. This is what I've been teaching. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. That's significance. That's who you are. That's your new creation. You are light. That's significant. You are a city, and you're set on a hill. That is significant. But it's not significant in and of itself. It must lead to something. Okay, I didn't do a very good job there. All these things I've taught you are not significant and an end. They are a means to an end. They put the stamp of significance on my life. I am this. I am this. I am that. I am righteous. That's significant. I am the head, not the tail. That's significant. I am the seed of Abraham. That's significant. I am the salt of the earth. That's significant. I am the light of the world. That's significant. But the significance of it doesn't lie in and of itself and stop there. It must lead to some doing, some producing, some deeds, some works. And that's what he goes on to say. Verse 15 says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bush, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all them that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good, everybody say works, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Did you see that? Men are to see our good works. They are to see our good works, and our works are to testify of this new life that's on the inside of us. Notice that we shine our light before men that they may see our good works. We don't take our good works to God to be saved. Our good works to God to be accepted. Our good works to God to be blessed or received by God. No, we take the good work of Jesus before God. Jesus done a good work on our behalf, paid for our sins, bore our judgment, took our punishment, embraced our death, was buried, but on the third day rose again for our justification. That's the work we take for God to be accepted. That's the work of the cross, the grace of God, through my simple faith that saves me. But notice I now have good works. God preordained before the foundations of the world that I would walk in them. Them what? Them good works now that come out of this new creation. And these good works are to be before men, that they, the men, may see our good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. I wonder if our lives testify of our hearts that we claim has changed. I wonder if men see our works and get convicted, see our works and say, he's saved, she's saved. See our works, our deeds, our actions, how we treat one another, how we treat the lost, how we treat our employees and employers, how we treat one another in this house. I wonder if the world could look at our works and they testify of a new life, a new creation, and they, the world, begin to glorify God. You're the third company of people in a row that have been arrested with a supernatural silence. We need to sober up and look at our lives and be willing to evaluate, does my life, my actions, my deeds reflect, testify of, express a new life on the inside of me? And if it doesn't, good news. You can get born again even if you're a deacon. You can get born again even if you're a preacher. You can get born again even if you're a doctor. You can get born again if you're a theologian. Thank you, Jesus. If you don't have a changed life outside, you haven't got a changed life inside. Once you get it inside, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall, you're going to fail, but you're going to get up and repent every time and get right with God and get right with people. And if you don't have that kind of heart, you don't have a new heart. You got the same heart the world has. And you need to get saved. You need to get right. You need to call upon the name of the Lord and become light, and then let that light shine, because that's God's will. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Why did God anoint him with the Holy Ghost and power? So he could go do good. Why did God anoint you with the Holy Ghost and power? So you will go about and do good. I could say to you today how God anointed Dwayne Sheriff of Durant with the Holy Ghost and power, who goes about doing good, teaching to all of those oppressed and blinded by demonic powers. Teaching is one of many of the good things I do because of the anointing in my life. Your occupation, your vocation, some of you get so caught up in trying to figure out what's God called me to do. What's God calling me to do? Do good. Do good. Just do good. Yeah, but what God calling me to do? Am I supposed to be a mechanic? Just do good. Yeah, but am I supposed to be a preacher? Just do good. We don't need no more preachers. Get an anointing, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and go about doing good, forgiving the unforgivable, loving the unlovely, letting it go when people trespass against you, carrying someone's load 2 miles when they dump it on you and say, carry it a mile, turning the other cheek, which is not weakness but meekness, great power under control, for vengeance is the Lord, and he will repay. Be it far from me to lift a hand upon any of you for the transgressions you've committed against me. That's going to be between you and God. And I pray you get it right before you leave this life, because you'll give an account for it in the day of judgment. And I will give an account for how I respond or not respond to the transgressions that are committed against me. This life is so short, saints. How you can get mad at me, I fear for you. How you could be offended at me, I fear for you. If you get offended at me, if you get upset at me, The one human being probably on this planet that loves you more than you'll ever know, cares about your eternity, cares about your marriages, your children, your finances, everything about you. If I can't offend you, you don't have a prayer. That world hates you. The devil is real and he's deceiving you. He's going to destroy your heart. He's going to get unforgiveness and worry and anxiety and bitterness in you and defile you. Man, if you can't let it go with even me, how you gonna let it go with that world that you're supposed to go out into and love now? Man, we gotta get it together. We gotta get it together. We're gonna die. Everybody in here's gonna die. And I found out something this week I didn't know. I feel stupid. The second service encouraged me with their stupidity. But I heard something and I went, that's impossible. That cannot be. And my son Jacob said, Dad, everybody knows this. I said, everybody does. And I didn't know it. How many of you know there's a lot of things we don't know? I mean, humble yourself real quick. God's watching. There's a lot of things we don't know. I didn't know that. I didn't know that if you took your life and let's say you lived 100 years, 100 years on this planet, James says your life is but a vapor. It's here and gone in a millisecond. But let's say you lived 100 years. The Bible teaches that you're going to live for eternity, infinity. Trillions times trillions of years from now, you're going to be alive somewhere. Trillions times trillions times trillions. And if you divide 100 years by infinity, you get zero. You get zero. Now that blows my mind. I still don't see how that computes, but they say mathematically that is a mathematical fact that 100 divided by infinity equals zero. In other words, your life in the light of eternity, infinity, your life on this planet, that you're ups, that you're all been out of shape over what somebody did to you, what somebody said about you. In the light of eternity is zero. Here today, gone tomorrow. It's over. And we're going to be judged by how we live in this life for eternity. And because of an eternal perspective, I don't know about you, but I don't have time to get offended at you. I don't have time to get angry at you. Jesus said, if I don't forgive in my heart, I will not be forgiven. Jesus said, if I let unforgiveness, get in my heart, it'll turn into a root of bitterness and defile me. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to forgive you. Not because I'm a super saint and not because I'm real spiritual. Hey, my life is a big zero. I ain't got time to get upset at you. I'm going to get judged in the day of judgment for every word spoken and every deed done. I want to say words of kindness. I want to say words of forgive me, oh God. And I want to say words of encouragement. And bless them, oh God, instead of some of the words you've said and others have said. I want to do people good. I want to do people right. I want to feed the hungry. I want to help people that can't help me, because that's when I know I'm operating in true character and I'm operating in a pure motive in my heart. Some of you, even born again and spirit filled, why do you give? Many times you give to manipulate. You give to get your way. Do you know God sees that? Does everybody in this building understand God? He is God and He knows our thoughts. He knows our motives. He knows why we do what we do when nobody else knows, and that He's keeping records. He's keeping records. That's why when I know I've said something wrong, I'm going to repent. When I know I've done something wrong, I'm going to repent to God and whoever I've done wrong. That's a good deed. And I'll get rewarded for even that. I'm going to get a lot of rewards for just apologizing. Because that's a good work. The world doesn't do that. Lost people don't do that. Self-centered, self-absorbed people are never wrong and never apologize for a thing. And that's being kept, and records are being kept. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10, and I love this next part we're going to share in. Hebrews chapter 10, one of my favorite scriptures. I finally found an opportunity to preach on it. I refer to it often. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to start reading for the sake of time, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad that we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus? And we can approach an unapproachable, holy, righteous God, even though after the flesh, we're not holy and righteous. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the new creation and that I've been made the very righteousness of God. And I go to God in the name of Jesus and I have access to him. The next verse assures me again by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Aren't you glad you've had your heart sprinkled from that evil conscience? Aren't you glad that the things that bothered you before Christ, you've been forgiven of, and the Holy Spirit will purge that and give you peace? Aren't you glad even after you get saved, you make a mistake, you can repent, and God can cleanse that conscience and your body? Because you feel bad because you are saved. The Holy Spirit gets grieved. And you know that because you are saved. Man, look at the next verse. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to what? Good works. I love that. Consider one another. Let's get together and let me provoke you. I want to provoke you to love and provoke you to do good things, do good works. Isn't that beautiful? Can you imagine being a part of a church that we get together and all we do is consider one another to provoke to love and to good works? Listen at the New Living Translation. Think of ways to encourage one another to outburst of love and good deeds. Sit around and think about ways of outburst of love. How can we have an outburst of love? And think about ways to do good deeds. Because we're all going to meet God. We're all going to die. And then the judgment. We have four tents out here for you to come through coming in here. And four tents for you to go out. It's called opportunity for greatness. We're not manipulating people. We're not condemning people into doing something. It's opportunities for servanthood. It's opportunity to do a good deed. It's opportunity to get involved. And it still has to come from the heart. But I'm not going to be the weak link and there not be opportunities for you to do good works, do good deeds. Because one day those tents are going to be over you, but you're going to be under the ground. The good news is today you get to walk through that tent and go home. And what goes under and on under that tent today can affect your eternity. And you still have a chance because you're on top of the dirt with that tent over you. But you look at those tents, those are funeral tents. And those tents are going to be over every one of you one day, but you're going to be 6 foot under and you won't get to do a good deed. You won't get to do a good work and you won't be in that dirt. You won't be in your body. You will come out of your body and you'll go before the judgment seat of Christ and you'll give an account. I'm talking to Christians that are born again, spirit filled. You're going to give an account for every word you've spoken and every deed you've done, good and bad. And that is the rewards. You'll get rewards throughout eternity or you'll suffer loss throughout eternity. We don't even hear about this stuff in Christianity anymore. But this life is but a vapor. If you divide 80 years by infinity, you still get zero. I'm looking at a bunch of zeros. And so you don't think I'm being critical. I'm a zero with the circle knocked off. That's really nothing. I won't get credit for some fancy message. I won't get rewards for a good service and a good preaching. If I was to preach the best message this weekend on the planet, I'm talking the very best message on planet Earth that is preached today in comparison to Jesus's preaching, I would be embarrassed. Amen. It's not how good my preaching is. It's not how good my preaching is that I'm going to get rewarded for. It's not how good I look that I'm going to get rewarded for. It's not how I connected the dots that I'm going to get rewarded for. I'm only going to get rewarded for the impact this has today to draw somebody to God or draw somebody away from God. I'll get credit for everyone that makes a commitment to Christ because I told you the truth in love. There is a devil's hell and you don't want to go there and God came to save you. Get right. Get right. God is a just, holy, righteous God, and without holiness, no man will see God, and you can't come up with enough holiness on your own to see God, so you accept Jesus Christ for your holiness, and because you've become holy, you go do holy things now. And if you don't have any doing of holy things in your life, you're deceived. You've become religious, and you'll be one of those that stand before God going, Lord, 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 Lord. Not everybody says Lord's going to heaven. Not everybody comes to church and is wicked in heart, full of malice and gossip and slander, and all you can sit around and think about is how to get somebody back for how they've done you, are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's a company of people on the earth that have become a new creation. They've been born again. They've had that stony, wicked, rebellious heart ripped out, and they've got a heart of flesh put on the inside of them, and they love God. They may fail or fall, but they get back up, and they still love God, and they pursue God, and they love people, and they may mistreat people, and they may do things wrong and make mistakes, but they don't want to no more. And when they do, they make it right because they know this stuff is real, and we're going to stand before a true and a living God and give an account for every deed done in the flesh. And we want rewards. We want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter the joy that's been prepared for you. God didn't save me just to make me feel good. He changed me. He made me a new creation. He made me a masterpiece so I could do good works that he, before the foundation of the world, ordained that I would walk in him. He wants me to defend the oppressed. He wants me to feed the hungry. He wants me to clothe the naked. He wants me to visit the sick. He wants me to visit those that are incarcerated and in prison. He wants me to take every opportunity to do good throughout my life. And preaching and pastoring is so minor of the good God's called me to do. I get so frustrated that I have to get alone and get right with God, because I hope I'm not the only one that gets frustrated. But sometimes I just get frustrated with preachers. I get frustrated with their thinking. And they want to know some special key, or what did you do to build the church, and what do I do over here, and what can I do over there just to get more people to come to my church? And even in trying to help them, they think it's all about numbers, and they think it's about building buildings and churches and being on TV. Junk. Amen. Nothing but junk. Amen. They have no idea what I do behind the scenes. Have no idea what I do that you'll never know I do. Have no idea the people I help that can't help me. The people I serve that can't serve me back. But God does. God sees what we do in secret, both good and bad. Thank you, Jesus. God sees what we do in secret, both good and bad, and rewards us openly. We need to understand that we're called to do good works, and that you're going to get up from here right now. And some of you are going to walk right out the door past hurting people. You're going to go to work Monday, and you're going to walk right past people lost that are going to go to a devil's hell. And God puts you there. But boy, you're really concerned about your ministry. What am I called to do? Where am I supposed to go? You're so full of yourself, now you're depressed. And I understand that. If all I thought about was you, I'd be depressed too. I just don't know what to do. And so you wring your hands, you stress out. What am I supposed to do? How about just bake somebody a cake and take it to them with no selfish motive and say, hi, I love you. The Lord loves you here. How about instead of trying to get the neighbors evicted that are up till 2 o'clock in the morning partying, and how about instead of wringing your hands trying to figure out what act of malice you could commit to get them back for tormenting your life, how about fixing some hors d'oeuvres the next party, walk over there, knock on the door, when the door opens and the bellowing smoke comes out and you smell marijuana, because we all know what it smells like, comes out, there's alcohol all over the place, people make it out on the couch, why don't you just hand them the hors d'oeuvres and say, you know what, the Lord loves you and I do too. A good deed. A good deed. Instead of belly aching and moaning and groaning and self-centered about how everybody's making me so miserable, your life in the light of eternity is zero. Quit getting hung up on stuff. Learn to let stuff go. Learn to just keep doing good. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing. Learn how to get together and let's provoke one another to outburst of love. What can we do that would really bless God? What can we do for somebody that would be a blessing? You know, Mississippi got all tore up. Katrina wiped that place out. Why don't we just help some Katrina victims? Well, we don't want to help those people. They'll take advantage of us. They'll just be ungrateful and they'll just abuse it and it won't. Yeah, yeah. That's between them and God. I said, that's between them and God. They're going to meet God. Everybody we helped is going to meet God. And they're going to give an account for how they responded to His love in and through us. And we're going to give an account for the motive of our heart. And did we help hurting people? Did we help and defend the oppressed? Did we help and defend the hungry? Did we help and defend the naked? Did we help and defend and minister to those sick? And did we help and did we defend those that are incarcerated? Amen. Did we put our arm around somebody after this service that looks discouraged and say, the love Lord you? You know, I couldn't do it on purpose if I tried. Some of you have a dyslexic moment about heaven or hell. And we need to look at our lives and say, do we have good works that testify this new life or not? Some of you, I fear for you in the day of judgment because you're going to hear your thoughts before God Almighty that you sit there and justified your unrighteousness, you justified your lukewarmness, you justified your wicked ways in the name of, that's just Pastor Dwayne's personality and he thinks if we don't worship God just like he worships God and we don't live just like he lives, we're not saved. That's the devil in your head and you're going to give an account for whatever you say and the thoughts you have because I'm telling you right now, I'm not talking about worshiping God like me. I'm not talking about living like me. I'm talking about worshiping God, period, and living like Jesus, hallelujah, doing good. Are you doing good? Do you have good works or not? Are you doing good deeds or not? Do you think of nothing but yourself? Or do you think about God? And do you think about your fellow man? Christianity is a new creation. It's a new life. It's Christ living in us to live through us. That's the message. That's the way of the Lord. Go to John 10. John chapter 10. Jesus said some powerful things about works and the importance of works in our lives. I fear that many of us won't preach what I'm preaching for a fear of condemning people. I don't want to condemn anybody, but if you're not saved, you're condemned already. If you won't come to the light, Jesus said your deeds are dark and you love darkness more than light. I'm preaching the truth in much love and labor, and you need to come to the truth. You need to come to the light. You need to search your heart. This is too serious. It's too important. We can mess up on prosperity. We can mess up on healing. We can mess up on the gifts. We can mess up on this. We can mess up on 1,000 issues, but we can't mess up on saved by grace and faith, and that faith will have works because Bible faith never stands alone. And if I don't have works, corresponding action, if I don't have a changed life, I didn't get a changed heart. I need to get right with God. That's not condemnation. That's the truth in as much love as it can be spoken. I don't want you deceived. Because you'll be under those tents one day. Every one of us will. We'll be under those tents one day. And we'll give an account. John chapter 10, verse 30. Here's what I've been preaching to you for 12 long weeks. I and my Father are one. Jesus said He and the Father were one. Jesus said He and the Father were united in spirit. I've been teaching you that you and Jesus are one. Amen? You and the Lord are one. You're flesh of the Lord's flesh and bone of the Lord's bones. You're married to the Lord. You and the Lord are one. Amen? Isn't that good news? You're united to Christ, born again of an incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Good news. We and the Lord are one. Well, they didn't think it was good news about Jesus being one with the Father. Verse 31 says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Look at Jesus' answer. Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those good works do you stone me? I love that. Jesus said, wait a minute. I've shown you many good works of my Father. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus do good works to get saved? Oh, come on. That's the simplest question you'll ever be asked in church. Did Jesus do good works to get saved? No. But he said he showed them what? The good works of the Father. He said he and the Father were one. He said he was united to the Father. And he says, I've shown you many good works. What good work are you going to stone me for? I've literally used that on people and said, I have shown you many works of the Lord. And I've done good works. I'm not standing up here preaching one thing and don't have works to back up what I'm preaching. What good work are you upset at me for? Not for the good work. I've had people get out with me and I'm thinking I've done hundreds of good works for them. I've done hundreds of good deeds. And I misspoke over here. Or I slipped up over here. Or I messed up here. And they're willing to judge me and cast me off over that when there's hundreds of good works that testify of my faith, my love, my heart for you. Jesus said, what good work are you going to stone me for? The Jews said in verse 33, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest yourself God. Now watch this. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. Jesus said, it's written in the Old Testament. I said, God said you were gods. Now it is amazing how tripped up people get over that. And how the debate rages. I just wish people get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. Because some people just want to fight. They just want to argue. They just want to prove I'm right and you're wrong. And that's their whole life. Their whole existence is debate and argue and fight and fuss. That's not hard. Jesus said, I wrote in the Bible. It's in your law. I said you were gods. He wasn't saying they were divine like God is divine. He wasn't saying they're gods like God is God, independent of God. He was saying, and if you go look it up where he said it in the law, he got onto them and rebuked them because they didn't defend the oppressed. They didn't feed the hungry. They didn't defend the poor and the fatherless and the widows that were widows indeed, because he gave them authority. He gave them power to do something, and they just became religious and didn't do anything. God didn't save you just to make you feel good. God didn't just save you just for eternity and your sake alone. He has united himself to you so you can do something of eternal value. You can produce through faith in Christ now. Look at verse 35. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I'm the Son of God. Look at this. Verse 37, mark it. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Wow. If I don't do the works of my Father, don't believe me. Don't believe what I'm saying if I'm not doing something. I wonder how many of you could be courageous at work tomorrow. I wonder how many of us can be courageous with our families. I wonder how many of us could be courageous and say, don't believe me for my word's sake, but believe me that there is a true and a living God and he loves you and he'll change your life by my life. Jesus said, believe me for the work's sake. If you don't believe me and who I am and who I'm saying I am, look at the works and believe me for the work's sake. Look at verse 38. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father's in me and I in him. Man, that the body of Christ would realize we're united to Christ and that it is real. When you get saved, you become a new creation. You're united to Christ. And instead of just talking the talk, we should be walking the walk, where the walk testifies that we are united to Christ. If you can't believe my preaching, believe my works. If you can't believe my preaching, look at my life. I wonder how many people would be willing to be examined, be willing, like the Lord, to say, this isn't just theology. It's not just words. I am united to my Father. I am one with my Father. And the works that I do, I don't do. The Father in me, he doeth the works. When are we going to see in this planet a company of people stand up and say, I am united to Christ, I am a Christian, and if you can't believe me for the word's sake, look at my life that testify of the presence of Jesus in my life. Look at the works and believe in God for the work's sake. That's how on fire with works and deeds we should be. Amen. John chapter 14. Let's go there in closing. John chapter 14. Verse 10. John 14, 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Don't you believe I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? Don't you believe, Victory, that Christ is in me and I'm in Christ? Watch. Jesus saying, don't you believe that the Father's in me and I'm in the Father? Victory, don't you believe Christ is in me and I'm in Christ? Let's follow it out. He says, believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. When are we going to follow through with Victory? Don't you believe that Christ is in me and I'm in Christ? The words that I speak unto you, they're not mine. It's not my opinion. They're the words of the Lord. And the works, they're not my works. They're the works of the Lord that rules my heart. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. I should be able to stand up here and say, by the grace of God, believe me that Christ is in me, or just believe me for the work's sake. Look at all the works. Hallelujah. Man, that's awesome. Verse 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, the works that I do, the works that I do, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Wow, are we doing the works of Jesus? Jesus was kind to unkind people. Are we kind to unkind people? I could just go on and go on. I want to pastor a church where we don't come just for a good message. And where the subject and topic as you walk out the door is, that was a great delivery. Or that wasn't such a great delivery. I didn't get anything out of it. Check your temperature. Maybe you've assumed room temperature. There is no way you can sit here today with a heart for God and not get anything out of it. It is impossible. You got something. You're either going to get on fire for God so you'll have rewards, or you're going to get mad and never come back again and give an account for that in the day of judgment. You're going to get something. Something's going to break out every time we get together besides a rash. There will either be a riot or a revival if the Spirit of God shows up. If Jesus walks up and down these aisles, he will hold you accountable in this life, knowing you're going to be out of that body one day and you're going to give an account for every word spoken and every deed done, both good and bad. There is no way you can sit there and that not move you for God or against God. Closer to God or further away from God. I'm telling you right now, I want to gather together Victory and I want to have outbursts of love. What can we do, not for man to see, but for God to see? What can we do that's a work of Jesus that God will see and take record of? What can we say that God will hear that we won't be embarrassed in the day of judgment to hear again? I don't know about you, but I'm not going to pass by opportunities for greatness. I'm going to serve this house and God in this house, not to get saved. I'm already saved. I'm going to serve God, not to earn anything. I already have all of heaven itself. I'm going to love people, not so they can think highly of me, not so they can pat me on the back, not so they can acknowledge me or recognize me. I'm going to love people because that's a work of Jesus. It's a work of Jesus. And I know that I'm going to stand before God one day and I'm going to give an account. And I'm not going to give an account for how good this message was or bad that message was. I'm going to give an account. Did your message draw people to me? And once you got out of the pulpit, did you have a life? Did you have a life that people could look at and go, you know what? He's really not the same out of the pulpit as in the pulpit. He's nicer. Because sometimes I think I'm hard on you, and in the natural, I'm not that hard. You know what? I really see he cares, no matter what it sounded like last Sunday. And I can't do that in front of everybody, but I can sure do it in front of her. I can sure do it in front of my kids. I want to be the real deal. I don't want to deceive myself and think I'm going to meet Jesus and I'm going to enter eternity independent of grace and faith. I want to have faith in the work of Jesus to get saved. But because I have faith in the work of Jesus, I want this life. I'm united to Christ. I want to be able to look at people and say, look, if you won't believe my preaching, watch my life. Wouldn't it be nice if you could go to work tomorrow and say, look, man, I know I've been preaching at you and you're not convinced. But look at my life. Look at how I treat my wife. Look at how I treat my children. Look at how I treat my friends. I didn't used to be that way. Come on. If you're not right with Christ, you can get right now. If you're not saved, you can get saved today. If you made a commitment when you were 12 years old and you're 40 now and you're living like the devil, you talk like the devil, you treat people like the devil, whatever happened to you at 12, you better re-examine it. And if it was the real deal, you better repent and get right with God and start manifesting that new life. Or you better just humble yourself and say, Lord, I don't know what happened to me. I walked down there. Maybe I was just being pressured. I signed the card. Maybe I was being pressured. I got to have a new heart so I can have a new life so people can believe I'm united to Christ for the work's sake. Because right now I don't have works that are any different than lost people. But I'm going to get me some works not to get saved. I'm going to get saved by the grace of God, and it's going to be the real deal. I'm going to get a new life on the inside of me, and the works are going to testify of my faith, that it's faith in the true and the living God, and he's united to me in my heart. Amen. Amen. Now I want you to stand on your feet. I want to pray for you. If you've been talking bad about people, go repent and get right with God and get those tapes erased. Because you're going to give an account for every idle word spoken. If you've done somebody wrong and you are saved, don't put a stumbling block in front of your brother. Woe unto us, Jesus said. It'd be better for a milestone to be tied around our neck and we cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. If you've hurt people, if you've offended people, humble yourself. Repent to God. Go to those people and say, I'm sorry. Get that erased. Because you'll suffer loss in the day of judgment. Man, if we got a hold of this, take these 12 hours. I don't even care if you listen to the first 11 hours. Take this hour and go over it, play it in your car over and over till something clicks inside of you. Zero. This life, 80 years, 100 years, shorter than that in terms of eternity. And everything we do here is going to affect eternity. Everything we do here is going to affect our eternity. I'm not talking about heaven or hell now. I'm talking about things we don't fully understand. Nobody knows what heaven's like. Us preachers are crazy. We don't know what heaven's like. We don't know what eternity is going to look like. We can't get a hold of what's written and we do know. Much less what we don't know. All I know is you're coming out of that body one day, and some of you are old enough. Listen to me. You're going to die soon. You're old. You got to get right if you ain't right. And young people, you need to listen to me. You think you're going to live forever, and there's no promise of tomorrow. You could die tonight. And there is a devil's hell. And you can't put eternity off. No man can know the future. Today is the day of salvation. And I'm sorry, I'm being compelling. I'm just consumed right now. And probably not with wisdom. Because I sense the urgency for some people. And I want it off of my hands. I want it off of my hands. I don't want you to stand before Jesus, come to a great church, and me not warn you. Wonder how many of us preachers are going to suffer such great loss because we preach prosperity without a purpose. We preached a bunch of foolish stuff instead of folks. We got a mission. We got to love people. You can't do it without God. Let me pray. You've already given me over an hour. Father, these people have been patient. And for some, they've suffered through. And they can't wait for me to say amen and let them go. But Father, I pray that you send somebody besides me, that you send somebody that can touch their heart, that'll reach the deaf ear that they've turned to me, because they're going to meet you. Everybody's going to meet you. And first of all, we want to get this first thing straight. We're saved by grace through faith. Father, if people have tried to earn their way to heaven, let them see they need Jesus and make that commitment. I bind the devil that embarrasses people. I bind the devil that embarrasses people that have been in church their whole life, but have never given their heart to Christ. They're good in and of themselves. And that righteousness will not earn them heaven. May they call upon the goodness of the Lord, be saved. I make it as easy as I can, as private as I can, to make that step of faith. Young people that are here, Father, convict them that nobody knows tomorrow, and not put this off till they get older, but give their life to Christ. If you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Christ, I'm calling you to Christ. To call upon His name, to get a new heart, to get it fixed inside. That's where it all starts, inside. And I'm praying for courage. Maybe you've been in church for 40 years, but you've never give your heart to Christ. You don't love God. You don't really have a hunger, a passion for God. You don't love people. You're just trying to endure. I'm not putting you down for that. You can't without God. I'm encouraging you to make Christ Lord of your life. Call upon His name and be saved. And start over. You've still got time. There's still one day left for you. Nobody's going to drop dead in the name of Jesus while I'm talking. You can hug somebody and get a reward for it. You can go out under the tent and hug on somebody, love on somebody, help somebody and get a reward for it. You'll be least in the kingdom, but all the bad will be erased immediately. Then now we build from there a house that we'll be judged for. While everyone's bowing, please, I say that so people won't be embarrassed. Help them. I'm doing everything I know to make it simple for you. If you've not made that commitment to Christ, you want to be prayed for, I'm not going to embarrass you, put you on the spot. God's going to meet you right where you are. And if it happens in the heart, you're going to testify. You're going to share. You're going to have a changed life, and we'll all know in time if it was from the heart. If that's you and you want prayed for today to make Christ Lord of your life, I want you to raise your hand and make sure I see it. Make sure I see it and put it down. Make sure I see it. I see your hand, darling, at the back. You can put it down. I see your hand right here, darling. You can put it down. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I see your hand. I see your hand back here. Bless you for your courage. I see your hand, sir. You can put it down. I want to know that I know I have a new life on the inside of me. I see your hand, darling. You can put it down. I want to know that Christ is my Lord. I see your hand, and that I believe it with all my heart, and I'm confessing Him today as my Lord. I'm giving Him my whole life. That means I don't have a right now to carry unforgiveness. I don't have a right to judge people with negative judgment. I don't have a right to be mean anymore. Anybody else? I didn't look up in the balcony. If you raise your hand in the balcony, thank you for your courage. Anybody else in the balcony, raise your hand. I see your hand down here, darling, young person. You can put your hand down. Anybody else in the balcony, raise your hand high. Make sure I see it, because this has to be an act of faith. You've got to do something. You got to step forward somehow. Faith without works is dead. I saw your hand earlier, honey. Father, thank you for these. I see your hand. Thank you, darling. I do see your hand. This little boy, I believe it's a boy, a young man. I see your hand, sir. Thank you. Anybody else before I pray? Father, thank you for the courage of these people. Thank you for your courage to save us, to die a horrible death, to bear all of our sins. This stuff is real. It's important. It's everything in the light of eternity. And we say thank you. Those that raised their hand, Father, I believe they mean it with their heart, and I know you mean it with all your heart. You said if we would confess Jesus as Lord and believe that you raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. And that if that faith has corresponding action, we'll have a changed life. Thank you that you made it simple. We can know. We can know that we know that we know. And I thank you for that. As we pray with these people, this simple confession, thank you for ripping out stony hearts, putting a heart of flesh in. And Lord, those that are here that are saved today, we need crop failure. We need to repent for things we've said, things we've done, get the slate clean, and start doing good works, good works, good work. Go help somebody. Go bless somebody. Just do good. And I thank you for it. Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I confess that I'm not right, but I want to be right. I want to make it right. I can't save myself. I can't do enough. I can't quit enough to save myself. I need help. I believe Jesus Christ is that help. He is the Son of God. He came to this earth, lived a perfect life, went to the cross, and took my place. He bore my sin. He bore my curse. He bore my punishment for all my sins. He died my death. He was buried, but on the third day, he rose again. He is alive, and I confess him as Lord, my God, my King, my Savior that's soon coming. Thank you now for forgiving me, washing me, and changing me. Help me now to serve you and others all my days. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for humbling yourself. Many elderly people raised their hands. And I'm just talking about 30 or above, okay? It's all relative. I'm saying it's good to see adults. Even if you were wavering, let's settle it. Let's get the life in us through faith. And then let's watch. Do I have a changed life? Do I want to do right? Do I help people out of a pure motive? That right there will cause such a sense of significance. That's what this series ultimately was about. You'll feel great significance, dear ones, when you go help somebody that can't help themselves. Go feed somebody that's hungry. Go clothe somebody that's naked. Do good works before men, that they may see your good works. And not glorify you, but glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Man, I love you. Go through the tent. Remember, if good news is you're walking through it, and nobody's under it to stay. So get involved. I love you. Have a great week in the Lord. Amen. You're dismissed.